Blog Talk Radio.
This the place to come where we all can address the issues, debating different topics, bring friends and family with you. You can say what you want, speak whatever you feel. When Nizzy Nay and Tay in the building,
it's what?
It's real.
Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to It's Real Talk Radio. And I am your host, Miss Behave. My co-hosts are not going to be joining us tonight. So we're going to give a shout-out to Tay Real and Nizzy Nay. We're going to miss you tonight. But tonight, our production assistant will be joining us, and her name is Jay Styles. What's up, Jay?
Hey, everybody. Hey, Miss B. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm pumped up. You know, this is my time to shine. So I hope I don't mess up.
Oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm excited about tonight's show, you know, parenting, which is something that I do every day, all day, it feels like, as you know, as a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah, we do it. I do it, too. I'm a mom of 1, 2 years old, so I'm doing it, too. We're mother sisters,
so
me
tonight,
and you.
Yeah, we got to stick together. You know, I have two of my own. I have two boys. One is 9 and 1 is 2, so I'm kind of in the thick of the school years and the baby years.
Yeah, that must be fun. That just must be a lot of fun.
No, it is the opposite of fun. It is responsibility overload. I feel like I'm going to pull my hair out at all times. But, you know, I wouldn't take it back for anything. That's what we're supposed to say, right? But, yeah, I feel that way. But in the thick of things sometimes, I forget about that because I get too nervous wrecked. They drive me crazy. But tonight we're going to be talking about the 4 parenting styles. For those of you out there who don't know about these, there's 4 different parenting styles, and they fall under 4 categories. And basically each category measures like your response, what they call your responsiveness, and your demandingness. And once that's measured, they start with the names of that, and the 4 names is authoritarian, authoritative, permissive, and uninvolved. So I'm going to tell you all the definitions of those real quick. The authoritarian parents are very strict and controlling. They have a sense of justice and the need for obedience. So these are your parents out there that want their kid to do exactly what they say, when they say, and they don't care what the child has to say. They don't feel any empathy for the child. And their children turn out to be really timid, have low self-esteem, and they lack spontaneity. And they kind of rely to an unusual amount on authority. Then we have the authoritative, which is what I think I am, which is because that's the best one out there. Authoritative is a parent that while they retain authority and control, these parents are warmer and more communicative than authoritarian parents. They seek to have a balance between the child's independence and the parent's desire to be listened to. They're assertive, but they're not intrusive or restrictive. They want their children to be assertive as well and socially responsible and self-regulated as cooperative. So an example of this would be if a child got in trouble for school and had to get to detention, and say that it was detention for talking in class. Well, if the child was had detention for talking in class rather than detention for having a fight, they will differentiate the punishment for that. They would, you know, adjust the punishment to what would be acceptable. They're not going to get the same punishment for everything every time like the authoritarian parents would give. Then we have the permissive parents who are often warm and accepting, but they have few demands on their children. These are the parents that you see out there that they try to be their kids' friends. You know, they let them do whatever they want, basically, as long as they conform to a few things, like, say, getting good grades or being in the house at a certain time at night or But that's pretty much the gist of that. But it can get to the extreme to where the permissiveness will take the form of indifference, where they just don't really care. And when that gets involved, you go to the uninvolved parent, and they demand pretty much nothing, and they give nothing in return. So the kid has absolute freedom, but it converges on neglect. So those are our four categories that we're talking about in parenting styles tonight. Jay, what do you think you are?
I think that I am, I think I'm probably authoritative. No, authoritative, because authoritarian is extreme. I think I get the two mixed up.
You think you're authoritarian? Well, they say that's the best one to be, that those turn out the most well-adjusted kids. But we do have a guest tonight, and she's going to weigh in on the topic and tell us about her parenting style. Her name is Megan Bethany, and she's a single mom with a one-year-old son. They've been through a lot of trials and tribulations because her son has some mysterious disease, and they don't really know what's causing him to have this, but he has hypercalcemia, he's got failure to thrive, developmental delays, and he relies on a feeding tube, so I know that's really tough. Also, through this time, I mean, you know, she's still in the process of trying to find out with the doctors, you know, what's causing it, so I know that's got to be really hard on her. But she's a mother, and she's going to get through it like we all do. And so we'd like to welcome her tonight to the show. Megan, welcome. Megan?
Bye.
Hi, Megan. Hey. How you doing? How you doing,
Hello?
Megan?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Oh, there we go.
Wonderful.
Hey,
I think I was so
welcome
muted.
Welcome to It's Real Talk Radio.
Thank you.
We're talking about the parenting styles tonight. Do you have an idea what kind of parent you think you are?
You know, I think it's kind of hard to totally determine that when your child is still pretty little. But I wouldn't say
right.
that I'm necessarily one specific. I think I kind of fall in between that permissive and authoritarian as far as, like, I want like him to have a good structure and kind of be involved and everything, but at the same time, I want him to kind of have his own independence and make his own decisions.
Right.
That's at least the parent I want to be.
It's hard. You're right. When you're that young, when your child is that young, because you pretty much have to be permissive to an extent because they're so little.
Right.
It's not like you can really punish them yet.
Right.
For things, you know.
And
well,
they rely so much on you.
Yeah, absolutely, for everything, for
mm-hmm.
everything, and they will for a while. I mean, my son is two, and, you know, it's hard for me to remember sometimes, you know, you have to punish him, even though you don't want to because he's so cute, you know.
Right.
But when he does certain things that is going to hurt him, I have to punish him, you know. His thing
mm-hmm.
now is climbing on the banister. You know, I can't let him climb on the banister, so I have to punish him. And if he doesn't listen, I might have to give him a little pop on his hand, and I hate to do it. I hate to do
right.
it, but, you know, what am I going to do? I don't want to get him to get hurt.
Definitely.
So, yeah, it's hard when you're young. Now, my older son, that's completely different.
Because
yeah,
no,
he knows the difference
son,
between right and wrong.
Yeah, my son's starting to get, like, he's starting to get sassy. I don't know why he's getting sassy, but he's like, I don't want to do it. And he's starting
mm-hmm.
to say no to his grandma, so we're headed towards that stage where we're gonna have to start getting a little stricter. But I do try. As so, you know, I think in a way that I can be permissive, but you know, because I'm like, well, you know what? If you're good, then we can do something that you like. You know, I that's the type of thing that I like to do. I like to say, you know what, if you be good for me while I have something important to do, then we can do something that I know you like to do. I know you like to bake cookies. I know you like to eat cookies. So if you're good, we will do that. If you're bad, you're going to sit on the bed and you're not going to move. So I had a habit from when he was like 1 year, when he was like 1 year old and I felt like he was too little to get popped on the butt. So I would, like, mm-hmm. like make him stay in one place. Like, I'm still stuck in the timeout phase where now he's starting to get to the part where I need to be a little bit more forceful a little bit. And I don't want to, because he's so, you know, that's my heart. So I don't want to be forceful, but he's starting to make me get that way. So I feel like I just don't even know what to do. I'm like, we're going to play this one by ear. So. But
I wish mine would sit in timeout. Are you kidding me? When he was younger, I had to put him in the crib to have him have a timeout. He didn't ever sleep in his crib. He slept in the bed. But mm-hmm. he always had to go to the crib to have a timeout, because that's the only way I could keep him barred up, where he would sit still. Now he's too big to that. He'll try to climb over the edge. So I don't know what to do with him. I have no clue.
I don't even know. Well, he doesn't sit still for long. Like, he sits still as long as I have to literally stand over him and tell him not to move now. I can't like sit him in timeout and then go to the bathroom, because then I come back, he's climbing on dressers and stuff.
So
Megan, you said you felt like you were between authoritative or authoritarian?
Authoritarian, so.
Authoritarian, okay.
Between those two. And, I mean, like I said, it's so hard when he's little. And then the fact that Luke is big too, so he's more or less like an infant still, and he really is getting towards that toddler stage. He doesn't quite, I mean, he's starting to figure out, like, understanding what no means and stuff, but he still isn't quite there. So it's a lot harder to kind of discipline and do that sort of thing, just for the fact that he doesn't really get it.
So you think you're authoritarian, which is the really strict with the rules and stuff?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's then authoritative.
You mean authoritative, right?
Oh, okay.
Authoritative, yeah.
Yeah, I always mix the two up, too. That's why I knew you said that. Because you said you were between it and permissive, which I know down on the scale, that's complete pretty much opposite. So I figured that's what you meant was authoritative.
Yes. I'm sorry. My bad.
Okay. It's confusing.
I was like, wow. I was like, you don't sound like authoritarian.
Sweet. No, I'm pretty laid back with things. Like in general, I've done a lot of nannying, and I have younger siblings, and I've always been pretty laid back with all of them, so I don't rule with an iron fist.
Oh, good.
Right.
That's good. Now little Luca, Luca's her son. If for anybody who hasn't checked out the links, I believe the links are on the, the links to Megan's Facebook and the like page for, it's called Luck for Luca.
Yep.
Everybody goes to the links on this on the slideshow, because this little boy is the cutest little boy. Look, besides mine, he's the cutest little boy I've ever seen. now, you said, just elaborate for everybody. You said he was diagnosed with a mysterious disease. Like, there's no name for the disease that he has, right?
Nope. We're still kind of searching to see if we can find something, but essentially when we got out of the hospital, the doctor that was on our case said, whatever this is, we either will never figure out what the specific disease is, or if we do, it's going to be something that you never see, and it's like something that pops up in like third world countries rarely. So it's extremely rare. Ship case is unique because, like, the hypercalcemia means high calcium, and you don't typically see that in children. And when you do, it usually means that they're absorbing too much vitamin D. We're from Minnesota, so if you know a little bit about Minnesota, in the wintertime, which is when this started to happen, most Minnesotans tend to lack vitamin D significantly because it's so gloomy and dark here all the time in the winter. So it didn't make sense for him, it didn't make sense for his vitamin D to be shot up, which it wasn't. It was totally normal. So it was just kind of like, wow, we weren't really sure why all this stuff was happening. But every symptom he had, so like the hypercalcemia, the failure to thrive, there was vomiting. He had high PTH levels, which have to do with like the thyroid and stuff like that. Just all sorts of different things. He has a lot of issues with electrolytes as well. They all are related to whatever this disease is. And it's funny because, yeah, we're not sure what it is, and we probably won't ever know. On the plus side, it can be managed, and it has been managed through the feeding tube and, like, medicated formula and a special high-calorie diet. He's on formula past 12 months. He's currently 14 months, so he's over a year. And he's been doing really good, though. He's definitely improved significantly. We've managed to get his hypercalcemia down to normal levels right now, and we're hoping that they stay that way. And we're slowly trying to wean him off of his medicated formula. So.
Okay. What kind of formula does he take?
It's called Calcilo XD. It's a, like I said, it's a medicated formula. You have to have a prescription for it. It's extremely expensive. It's low. It has zero vitamin D in it, and it's low calcium. So, like, obviously he still has to have calcium because it's an important part of what we need. But it has, like, zero vitamin D. It's just mixed and formulated to have no vitamin D in it, and then, like, the low calcium, so he's not getting – we're not adding to that hypercalcemia, essentially. We're just trying to get him calories.
What does that do? What does hypercalcemia do? I mean, what kind of problems does that cause? I mean, is it mm-hmm. like excess bone growth or something?
No, what it is hypercalcemia, so like high calcium means that your bones are absorbing more calcium than they need to. And it can cause a significant amount of issues. It can go, I mean, I don't know exactly what the hardest issues are. I definitely know that it can lead to death. We're not at that point, but
wow.
On the lower end of the spectrum.
That's really tough hearing.
Oh, yeah, no, it's scary. It definitely is. On the lower end of the spectrum, it can cause things like kidney stones and calcium deposits on your kidney, which is something we deal with. He's got a lot of calcium deposits on his kidneys, and that can cause the kidney stones and things like that. You can have kidney failure from it, so
wow.
A lot of different things. It's definitely dangerous if you don't maintain it.
Wow, that's so much to take on. And this is your only child, right?
Yep, he's my only child. I'm a single mom, yeah. His dad hasn't been in the picture the first year. He's kind of starting to get involved, but he doesn't do anything based on his medical needs. So he doesn't really know any of that stuff.
That must be really hard to go through, especially alone.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
I'm definitely very thankful. I've had an amazing support system. Through Facebook, through my family, through my friends. Like, I definitely don't think I could have done it without all the support I had. So it's quite the journey. We started, I mean, he's always kind of had issues from day one, but everything started to significantly pop up back in January. So he's about 9 months old. And then that's when we started kind of, like, really paying attention to what was going on because he was 15 pounds at 6 months, and then he had dropped down to 12 pounds at 9 months. And, I mean,
oh, wow.
Much anybody knows that a 9-month-old or 12-pound 9-month-old is tiny. So it was obviously a cause for concern. And then we ended up going to a children's hospital, and we ended up staying a whole month in there before we got any form of answers, which is when they decided that he needed the feeding tube and we needed to start, like, doing the medicated formula and everything and basically, you know, starting to maintain things and manage them and figure out if we can find out what's wrong. I would say we go to Children's twice a month to see specialists to make sure everything's doing okay, and then we have frequent ER visits just because there's a lot of, there can be a lot of issues with feeding tubes. They're very hard to get to heal, essentially. So
now, do they see that coming out soon, or?
Yeah, we actually just got done talking to his two main specialists, which were endocrine and nephrology. And at our last visit, we saw endocrine April 8th, and they said that he looked really good, and that they didn't feel like they needed to see him anymore. So we're down to one specialist, which is nephrology, and
that's
they're
great.
Essentially,
congratulations!
Yeah, oh, awesome. The nephrology is the kidney doctors, so that was the major issue, obviously, because his kidneys are what's affected a lot besides his growth and development. And they're basically going to determine whether his feeding tube comes out. They gave me a timeline of July 2014 to April 2015. So basically by the time a little bit over 2 years old is our deadline of when we want to get it taken out. And he's been doing really good. He's starting to eat really well orally. That was one of our issues. He wouldn't ever eat orally, so we were strictly using the tube. But now he's eating really good orally. We've got him to start to eat solids, and he does fairly well on those as well. So we're slowly trying to get him to completely off of the feeding tube so we can get it taken out sooner than later. But it will for sure be taken out by April 2015.
That's great.
That's wonderful.
Great.
Oh, so wonderful.
We have some questions for you, if you don't mind.
Oh, definitely.
Jay?
All right. So I'm going to start y'all off. Megan, what is a day in the life of Megan like? Like, what does Megan go through every day? Like, what's Megan's routine?
You know, it really depends on the day. We definitely, just because of, like, his special needs and things, we don't plan our days. We live one day at a time. I mean, we definitely have to plan our days as far as, like, all right, you know, I got to make sure that I have all of his medical stuff with me, his supplies, you know, obviously your regular things, diapers, wipes, clothes, all that stuff. But we try not to plan too much in a day because it can be overwhelming, and if things go wrong, which they do all the time, it'll screw up our whole day. So we try, like, I know one of the things that I do is I won't schedule more than one thing in one day. Just because, I mean, it could be as easy as his tube site gets too infected and we need to go to the ER and get antibiotics, or he rips it out and that happens. I mean, we've been blessed.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, but there are lots of children who have ripped out their feeding tubes and then they have to go in and get them surgically put back in. So it's definitely an interesting lifestyle to live. It's a lot in a day, but we make it work, and I honestly can't even imagine life any other way. This is all I know.
That's cool. Now, this is kind of like off topic, but what do you feel like a lot of items claim that people claim that you need? Like, do you feel like the things that people say, like when you walk into the store, they're like, oh, you need this, you need a crib changer, you need a playpen, all of that stuff. Do you really feel like that stuff is necessary, or do you think it's overrated?
A bottle warmer and a wife warmer.
Personally, I think half of it's crap and you don't even need, like, any of it. If we're talking, like, essentials, I would say that you need some form of a comfort item. So whether it's, you know, like a swing, a bouncer, or a rocking chair, whichever you prefer, you need one of those. You need a crib, and you need obviously major essentials like bottles, diapers, things like that. But as far as, I mean, I think wipe warmers and bottle warmers and all that stuff is just more luxury items, and they're not necessities. I personally use a bottle warmer. I love mine. It's fantastic. But I don't need it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I loved my bottle warmer. Okay. And I loved my wipe warmer, guys. Because
I hated my wipe warmer. It never worked.
Well, I don't use it now. I mean, as he got older. But in that first, you know, 9-10 months, when they're so little and they just, like, everything just makes them shake, you know. And they're so, just so tiny. I didn't want to make them cold, you know. So I would use the wipe warmer, and, you know, so it made me feel a little bit better. Whether he saw the difference or not, it made me feel better about what I was doing.
Well, if I should ever have another kid, I'm gonna call y'all, and y'all going to buy me a diaper wipe warmer and a bottle warmer. Megan, you're in charge of the bottle warmer, and Ms. B, you're in charge of the wipe warmer. So.
Sounds good.
Well, you know what? We had a huge yard sale, and I sold all this stuff. I had this lady come, and she had a son that was 6, which was all this clothes I had from my older son, and then she had a baby that was getting ready to turn 1, so I had all the baby stuff. she bought a bunch of stuff at the yard sale, which one of them was the wipe warmer. And then after the yard sale, she called me and said, hey, if you got some more stuff, I want to come back through. So the next day, I had everything set up in my kitchen, and I sold it to her for, like, flat rate, drop. The prices dropped. And she bought my wipe warmer. So I don't have one for you, Jay.
Well, I'm just saying, when I have my baby shower, you're going to come up here from Virginia, and you can buy me a wipe warmer. Like, I'm going to specifically put you in type, and you're specifically in charge of that. Like, and you too, Megan,
right.
You're in charge of the bottle warmer. And if you guys don't get it, then you're not coming in. I'm going to have security at the door.
Oh, Lord.
Jay.
I'm just, what?
I said I'm going to deliver it to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, if you
that'll
start
work,
out, then you're not getting in. Everybody's getting kicked out. So, just to let y'all know. So Megan, what is the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you via Luca? Like, what has Luca ever put you through? Like, have you ever been in a mall or something, and he's just, like, completely embarrassed you?
Oh, my goodness. I've had a couple of, I would say we have our non-feeding tube moments and our feeding tube moments. I've gone as far as, like, we were in the store. He was probably, 2 weeks old or so. We were in the store, and I was in, like, these white basketball shorts. And I was just trying to get stuff and get out and get home. Because, I mean, you guys remember those days. Like, the first couple weeks that you bring them home, you're just beyond stressed. Oh, yeah. So he, like, explosive pooped all over me and just covered my white pants.
Oh,
so
my God.
It's that, like, I mean, I'm not going to go into detail, but you know the nasty newborn poop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So I had that literally covered all of my shorts, and people just stared, and I was just sitting there like, oh, my gosh, why is this happening to me? And then, I mean, like, moments with the feeding tube and everything, I've had stomach, and I'm just going to say stomach contact, like I said, because it can be kind of nasty. We'll just say that. We've had issues with tubes where we forgot to clamp them and close them, and I've had stomach contents covered all over me and my hair, on my face, all over my clothes. Had to be in public, couldn't change my clothes, couldn't shower, nothing. So it's been interesting. I looked like I just walked off of a crime scene.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys, my son, when he was about 7 months old, and me and my mom were in the mall, and he farted or something because we smelled it, and we were like, oh, maybe we should take him to the bathroom. My mom got cocky. She was like, no, I'll do it right here. I used to do this with you all the time. And she was like, so give me your lap. So I put his head on my lap, and she had his butt. He wasn't finished with whatever he was doing, and it went all over her hand, all over her clothes, and he was just not finished with whatever he was doing. So we had to walk her to the bed. We had to, like, carry him the way he was to keep it from spreading on her as much as we could. And we carried him like somebody would carry, like, a funeral casket. Like, you know, when they hold, you know, they one person holds the other thing and they hold it like that. We tried to hold him like that so that it wouldn't get all over her more than it needed to be. And he was just as happy as could be. He wasn't crying or anything. He just pooped all over. I was like... and it didn't happen.
I never had anything like that happen to me.
No,
like, thank God.
You got lucky.
But I never, like, had anything like that happen. I think the most embarrassing thing would be we were in public and my son said, that's bullshit. and he was two, and, you know, he got it from me, but I didn't know he had knew it. He'd never said it before. And I told him, you know, I told him sit down or something like that, and he said, that's bullshit. And I could have died.
Well, Ms. B, I'm going to need you to pop on some more babies until something like this happens to you, because.
No, I don't think so, okay? Something is happening to me with these kids every day. It just doesn't involve poop in public.
Well, we're going to need it to happen. Like,
it involves bloody lips and flips and all of that.
Well, you can borrow Xavier because I'm sure there's more to come. I'm not really sure. I don't know. But anyways, Megan.
No, I'm definitely. I'm done. Somebody put me down in the yard if I have another child.
Oh,
I am serious. I can't handle it. I will be, y'all will hear about me on the news. Woman goes crazy, is put in an insane asylum for the rest of her life. I can't take it. I mean, I'm already feeling like neurotic when I got two. I'm at the psychiatrist, like, can I have some anxiety medication? I'm serious, y'all.
Oh, Ms. B, Ms. B, you, see, don't you just love Ms. B? Like, I love Ms. B so much. Like, she will always be in my heart forever because I just, I can't. You can't not love Ms. B, right? So, anyways,
I just tell
Megan,
it like it is. I'll be in there. Y'all can come visit me.
Yeah. We might. I might send a card or something. I'm only coming for your pudding, so whenever they give you pudding, I'm coming.
Right.
So, Megan, like, out of the four parents of sounds that you've heard of, or that we that Ms. Behave just described, which one do you think? Which one do you think like you're secret? Like you would secretly judge seeing in action? Like which one do you secretly judge? Like you're looking at that parent, like, meh.
Do you need a
recap? I think I'm good. I think that all of us kind of always judge that neglectful or type of parent, or you know, the one that doesn't really care, because it's like, come on, your kid's like running around screaming and you're just letting them do whatever. Mm-hmm. I had to have to say that, yeah, I probably judge that one the most. I don't want to be that like super strict parent who like gives my kid corporal punishment, but that's kind of how I grew up, and I'm okay with that. Like, I mean, I think that because of that, I grew up okay. I'm not good, clearly, but
well,
I'm
they say, you know, that that you usually are the type of parent that your parents were to you.
Right.
So
right.
The odds are that you may be, if they were authoritarian, the odds are that you may be authoritarian.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not, because I don't want to be that super strict parent, but my parents were. And it wasn't a bad thing. I think they did a good job.
Yeah. I mean, parents, the authority, they say, authoritarian parents, they say that they're very strict, but they're also very involved in everything their child is doing. So the child does well in school and doesn't get in trouble with the law when they get older and things like that, and deals well with authority, whereas the responsiveness to them is rather low, and they don't have very good social skills. They don't have a sense of independence or freedom because they feel like, you know, they can be, you know, the parents are going to yell at them or something. You know, they don't feel like they have freedom to express. Did you ever feel like you couldn't express your freedom, your creativity?
I mean, it's like I grew up in a house with six kids, so I'm second oldest with six. So obviously, like, you can't be that strict with six kids because you just don't, you can't be hovering every single one of them every second of the day.
Oh, wow.
I
was, like I told you, I'd have been in a nut house, so bravo for her.
So I would say that at times, just for the fact that it's hard to grab your parents' attention with that many children in a home, it was hard to, you know, get my voice out there and everything. But all of my siblings are pretty social and everything at the same time too. We're pretty outspoken, and I think that just for the fact that my parents were strict in that sense, but we had all of us to kind of mellow it down, because obviously you just can't be constantly, like I said, hovering all of them. It kind of just worked out.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's true, and I bet you, are you close to your siblings?
Some of them. Some of them, I mean, we're all, to an extent, we're all close, but some of them I'm closer to than others. It's just, like, I have a sister who's 12, and she's, like, my best friend. And then I have a sister who's 22 who I, like, never talk to. But when I'm with her, we can talk up a storm, you know, like, we're all close in the sense that we'll all always have each other's back, but I definitely am closer to some of my siblings more than others.
I don't know, Missy, I think I'm against the odds because I grew up in an authoritarian type home. Like, just like Megan said, I was on corporal punishment for, like, my whole 10th grade year. Like, I literally had nothing. I didn't have a TV. I didn't have no kind of games, no nothing. I was sitting there reading my whole 10th grade year.
Damn, what did you do?
The thing was, like, now that I look back on it, it was like in my house, it was, like, 212 rules. And so no matter what I did, I was always breaking at least one, at least two of them. Not intentionally, not on purpose. It was just like I'm going around being a kid. I didn't even do anything that serious. I'm pretty sure I didn't do anything that serious. It was like, oh, you forgot to do the dishes. Oh, you forgot to sweep the floor. Oh, you forgot to take out the trash. Whatever. It was little stuff that you, but it would accumulate with every rule that I broke. It would accumulate and look like I was being disrespectful.
Yeah.
In a way, so out of that 210 rules, like, I broke 10, and I ended up on corporal punishment. I mean, but I'm not going to lie, there was, like, at least two situations where I really deserved everything I got, at least in that 10th grade year. Like, at least in that 10th grade year, I really did wild out twice, and so I deserved everything I got. But for the rest of the year, it was like, oh, you didn't do, like, five things that I told you to do, so now you're going grounding. But it wasn't necessarily my mom. It was more like, my husband, like, because my mom remarried after my dad, so, you know, he's my stepdad. But,
yeah,
it was more him punishing me than it was her, but it was definitely an authoritarian type home. It was like, clean your room, make your bed, do the dishes, do all of it, make sure everything is spotless, or you're going to get in trouble. So I think I'm pretty against those odds of running Xavier like an authoritarian, because I don't have that in me. I don't have it in me to remember 300 rules for him to follow. Like, I do want him to follow rules. I am going to give him rules to follow, and I want to raise him with morals and values and respect, and to respect himself
right.
and others. So I do want to do that, but I don't want to push it too far. Like, I don't want
right.
to be his best friend. I want to be his mom, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to screw him up. Like, I wouldn't say that I'm screwed up. Like, I'm not authoritarian type home, but at the same time, it's just not how I want to run. And I don't think I'm intimidating enough to even run that way. So, you know, I think I'm against the odds, but Megan, you sound like a sweet mom. I would take you as a mom. And like, Megan can
well,
be my mom.
Thanks a lot. What about me?
Oh, Mr. Habe, I would run you to the nut house, too. I don't want to run you to the nut house, but you could be my mom, too, if you're willing to put up with it. If you're willing to put up with it, if you're willing to put up with the stuff that my mom put up, then you could be my mom all day, hon. But I feel like I would run you to the nut house. Like, I wouldn't be no benefit to you. You'd still be running to the nut house talking about, lock me up, please. Give me the meds. Like, I would
say. Oh, I say that anyway.
All right, but that's because you got the two of it. Well, all right, well, you willing to do it? Let's make it happen then. We can go.
Oh,
we can see
goodness.
What happens. I'm gonna go back to my 10th grade year and see what happens. We'll see what happens with Miss Hayes. See if she can handle my 10th grade year.
Hey, listen, if my mom can handle me, because I'm gonna tell you, I stayed in trouble. I was that kid that was out there partying, and I got it out of my system young.
Mm-hmm.
But once I got older, you know, by the time I was like 15 or 16, I was chill. I was good. But when I was at 13, 12, 13, 14, into 15, I was a force to be reckoned with. And my mother is the sweetest lady in the world. I can't believe she dealt with it the way she did. But my parents were authoritative.
Oh,
and so I strive to be authoritative myself. And I think I am. I'm not strict on my boys, you know, but I don't let them get away with everything either. And I have the punishment fit the crime. If I was going to ground my son, my oldest son, for everything, every time he did something wrong, I would be grounding him like five times a day, you know, seriously. But, hey, I want to give a shout-out to everybody out there in the chat room, the Real Talk Radio, it's Real Talk Radio chat room. If y'all have a question or a comment, just feel free to either call in at 347-838-9540 or feel free to type it in the chat room and I can address it on air and ask, answer your question.
Yay, chat room people. I want to talk to chat room people. Call in, guys.
I know. Let's have somebody talk. Tell us about your parenting stories. What kind of parents are you?
Well, I can't wait. I hope they call in. Right now,
I can say, too, that a lot of people tend to have a lot of questions that they're kind of scared to ask about Luca and his situation. No question's a bad question, and you're not going to offend me ever. So whatever you want to ask, you can definitely do that.
Yeah, I was, you know, I had asked Jay, you know, I just wanted to make sure that we could ask you about your son, you know, his disorder, disease. I didn't want to upset you, but she said she had asked you. It was cool, you know, to go ahead. But I want to know, like, I know it's such a struggle what you're going through, but, I mean, I want to hear those stories that is like every other mom has those stories, like the story where he pooped all over you and the, you know, I want to know the stories. What do you think that isn't different having a child, if there is anything that's not different having a child?
Luca really isn't different from any other baby. I mean, if I wouldn't show you or tell you he has a feeding tube, you would never know. The only thing that people tend to think is that he's younger. So people tend to ask me when they see him, oh, is he like 8 or 9 months old? And I'm like, no, he's 14 months. So, like, if you don't know his age, you typically think he's younger because he's a lot smaller and he acts like a younger baby. But really, he's no different than any other baby. I mean, like, he can crawl, he can go in the bathtub, he can do anything really any other baby can as far as his developmental stage. So I really, our life, other than, I mean, making sure that we have all of our medical supplies and, you know, living it kind of that way, isn't much different. We play during the day, you know, I'm changing diapers, whatever it is, I don't think, and it's different from any other parent as far as just everyday life with a baby. We just have a little bit of a added daily thing we do.
Right. I mean, I can't even imagine, like I said, my kids drive me crazy, and, you know, they're just rambunctious, jumping up the walls, crazy, and I still worry about them all the time. I can't imagine, you know, going through what you're doing, because, like I say, just like with having more kids, I couldn't take it. I wouldn't know what to do, but I guess you don't really have a choice. You kind of, as
right.
a mom, you deal with it as it comes.
And, like, a lot of, you know, I hear that actually a lot. Just, I don't know how you do it, you're so strong kind of thing. But I just say it, you know, it's like having twins. All of us, I mean, we always are like, oh, I don't know if I could ever have twins. Like, that'd be crazy. But it's like that mom who has those twins, it's all she knows, you know. Like, this is what my experience is with parenting, and this is all I know. So, for me, I don't see how it's any different as far as, like, what you have gone through. Like, most parents deal with, like, children not sleeping through the night and colic and all that stuff, and I'm going, oh, like, he's a great sleeper. I've never had issues. From day one, we've never had issues with sleeping or colic or anything like that. So, like, when I hear parents who are getting up multiple times a night to, you know, feed their child or console them or something, I'm going, oh, my gosh, I don't know how you do that. Like, I'd never be able to handle it. You're so strong. And they're just looking at me like, you're crazy. That's everyday life.
Yeah.
But that,
yeah,
for me.
I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, I thought I had it hard. My older son has ADHD, and he is just, wow. I mean, at all times. He is turned up at all times. And, I mean, I can't even imagine. I worry about him going through life acting like that, you know, because he is just, I mean, like, I hope he grows out of it, you know, and then I think about that, and I think about how much I hope he grows out of something as small as ADHD. I mean, is that even an option? Do they foresee him possibly outgrowing some of these symptoms of this mystery disease?
That's the hope. We don't know for sure, just for the fact that we don't know what's causing it.
Mm-hmm.
just how things are going, we're thinking that that's what it'll be, and we're and it'll stay that way. It couldn't, and it could, but just based on what like what we have observed, observed, and what he's the progress he's made, it looks like that'll be the case. That he'll just outgrow it, and it'll be like nothing ever happened.
Now,
right.
Megan, I have a question. You said that Luca acts like he's a little bit younger than he is. Is that due to the developmental delays?
Yep. It's all strictly based on the fact that the failure to thrive. So it's essentially just because he wasn't getting the nutrition he needed, he just kind of grew. I mean, his developmental physically and mentally just kind of was at a slower rate. I would say he's at that like 8-9 month old level. So he's not, it's a good amount behind, but he's not insanely behind where it's not possible for him to catch up. Like that, he most definitely will catch up. It'll just take him a little bit more time.
Yeah.
All right. Now you also, in addition to dealing with all of this, of raising Luca, like you also are a photographer.
Yep.
Now, Megan's an excellent. If you guys go look at her her pictures on Facebook, which is also in the in the link on the slideshow, and it's also on my page, and she's also gonna
go ahead shout
also,
it out, Megan.
Yeah, give it, Megan.
Shout out your Facebook so everybody can check it out.
Yeah, well, I do my own personal work, and I actually work for a company as well. But my my personal work is facebook.com/MeganBethanyPhotography. I've been doing it for about 7 years just on my own, and I recently just started working for Life Touch as well, which the
Oh, wow, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
They do all the school pictures, right?
Yeah, I love the company.
Wow.
I love my coworkers. They're amazing, definitely. Definitely a huge step for me, and I'm super glad that I got the opportunity to be a part of Life Touch. But yeah, I just kind of, I've always been big into photography since high school and everything. Like I said, I've been doing it for about 7 years. And then I had a friend who I've known basically my entire life who was like, hey, I have a job opportunity for you. I think that you'd really like it. Go and apply for Life Touch. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then before I knew it, I was in, and this September it'll be a year since I joined the, and everything. So I really like it.
Wow.
So you
seen,
also do
I've seen
your own
work.
Thing
it's
too?
Amazing.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I was just saying that your work
too?
Was... Miss B, get yourself together.
I thought you were talking to me. My bad.
No, you go ahead. I was just saying that your work, I've seen your work. It's amazing, like, the different things that you can do with a camera. Like, they're very, very amazing. I want her to do photography. If she can get my son to sit still for a picture, then, he's all hers. So. Yeah.
I specifically work with preschool and daycare, so I'm working with 0 to 6 years old. I guarantee I can get your son to sit still. That is my job every day, to make toddlers and preschoolers and every other age that young to sit still.
Oh, well, I might take you up on that challenge. But what were you saying, Missy?
No, I was saying that she run, like, her own side thing, too.
Oh, yep. That's what I've been doing for about 7 years, is just my own personal stuff. And I do some freelance stuff on my own. I've done, like, band promotionals, I've done weddings, I've done newborn, senior photos. Coming up pretty quick, I'm going to do some, like, merchandise photography. So I do really general stuff. I would say I favor more of, like, family portraits, senior portraits, the newborn stuff. If somebody wants me to photograph it, I will do it kind of thing. So I'm pretty open to whatever.
Wow. I always wish that I could do something, like, as far as visually creative, something like paint or photography or, sculpt, anything you could create something visually that's creative. And I've never been blessed with that talent. So, I mean, I don't know what it feels like to have the eye, you know. All I know is, like, I look at it, it looks good, it doesn't look good, you know. That's it. And did it take you a long time to really hone your craft?
You know, I was never, it wasn't like something where I was like, oh, I might be good at this, let's try it. I just kind of, I was really big into art. I always have been. I'm fairly good at drawing and painting and sculpting and just art in general. I do fairly well at. I took some photos of my softball glove in the middle of my yard back in, I think it was middle school or high school, and I brought the photos in to show my art teacher, and she was like, these are really good. Like, have you ever considered taking up photography? And I'm like, no. Like, I had no idea I even had a talent for it or anything. So she was like, yeah.
Right.
And then she gave me the school's camera and let me start to kind of play around with it. And then I got involved with yearbook. And
oh, wow.
Eventually,
so you had the talent.
Yeah.
You had the natural talent, right?
Yeah. I had no idea until she brought it up. But, yeah, eventually I bought my own camera and just kind of started doing my own thing, and I've been doing it since.
Well, you are definitely talented.
Did she say yeah or no?
No, I said I said she, well, I don't know what she said, but I said she was talented. Megan, did you say yeah or no?
No, I didn't say anything.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that.
Oh, okay. I was like,
well,
did she?
Yeah, I'm just going to be cocky about it. Yeah, I know. I'm awesome.
Well, you should know because you're very awesome. You're a very awesome mom. You're a very awesome photographer. You're a very awesome person.
Oh, you are so sweet.
Yeah, I know. Guys, wow. Well, Megan, all the questions that I have for you. Misty?
I'm sorry, what was that?
No, I said that was all the questions that I had for you. We answered all the questions. We know what kind of parent you are now, Ms. Megan. But Ms. Behave? Megan.
Yeah.
Can you just list out your link for Luca's page, just so everybody can have it and they can go and check and see what's going on with Mr. Luca?
Oh yeah, it's facebook.com/luckforluca, and it's just spelled out. There's no numbers or letters or spaces or anything in it. Pretty easy to find. Got a big green banner that says keep calm and love a 2B. That's what we refer to feeding tube children as, or adults, or whatever you want to call them. We refer to them as 2Bs. So if you check out my page or check out Luca's page and follow our updates, you'll hear me call him a 2B a lot because that's just kind of our nickname between the feeding tube moms.
That's pretty clever. I like that. I do like that, but okay, so facebook.com/luckforluca, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, there you go, people. You got the Facebook for her photography, which is once again www.facebook.com/Megan Bethany Photography.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys got all the information. Go check her out. Go look at her photography. Go look at her cute little 2B baby. That's what they're calling? That's what it is, 2B baby? So look at the cutie baby and just love her up because she is definitely doing her thing. Missy Haver, you still there? Missy Haver's like missing in action. I don't know where she went. Missy Haver.
She does. Do we have to just like run the show ourselves, Jay?
I suppose so. Well, honestly,
but I'm here now.
No,
I'm here.
If you don't get to disappear and come back into our lives all suddenly, okay?
Why not? Dads do it all the time.
Well, you're a mom, so you're not supposed to.
I had to throw that one in there.
Well, we know. Well, Megan, we appreciate you coming on the show. I appreciate you coming on the show because we had an awesome time with you. I had a misbehave. You had an awesome time.
I did. I did. I want to thank you, too, for coming on the show. Appreciate you sharing our life with us. Sharing your life with us. And we'd love to have you any other time. Everybody check out the link for Love Luca and for the photography on Facebook. And
while you were missing an action.
I'm sorry.
Okay. No,
well,
Megan,
we have... thanks for coming out, Megan. Have a great night.
Thank you for inviting me.
Bye, Miss. Come back to me. You have to come back.
Definitely.
That's right.
Definitely.
And listen to the show.
Definitely listen. Well, go ahead, Miss.
All right. So we have another guest on tonight. Jake. His name is Jay Caddy. He is a rapper, and he has a song on our May playlist that we're about to go to break here in a few minutes. And we're going to have him on for a few minutes to talk to him and tell us about his song. Jay Caddy?
Yeah.
Hey, Jay Caddy, what's up?
It was good. Oh.
Not a whole lot. You've been...
How you feeling,
go
Jay
ahead,
Caddy?
Jay.
Oh, no, I was just asking him how he's feeling. How you feeling, Jay Caddy?
I'm not having good luck there the last, like, probably 20 minutes, but I was like, yo, I'm not going to run out the house. I'm just going to make this call, you know? Like, I got to do the shout-out. But
hey,
I,
we appreciate that, man. Most definitely.
Yeah.
We just have a few questions for you. Where are you from, Jay?
I'm from Canada. I'm in Ontario right now, just outside of Ottawa. I'm from Alberta, though.
You're from Alberta?
Yeah, I'm just making movements in Canada right now. I'm just going back and forth.
So how did you get started rapping? Like, how did that come about?
Oh, I was just young, you know, just being a kid. It all started when I was a kid. It stuck with me. And, you know, going to parties and everybody's like, yo, freestyle. And I don't know, after a few years, you know, it kind of sticks with you. And if you hear a beat, it's like you can't help it.
Yeah.
And now I write. So, you know, it's just the life of an artist.
So it is. What was your first song about?
My first song is Blast Off. It's Chris Brown on the hook, but it's just a demo. And it was pretty much just about my life, you know, starting out. And, you know, life's not easy, but you can't stop.
Yeah. And that was just a follow-up. That was the first song that you had ever made?
No, I made a lot of other ones, but, you know, you kind of get better and then you just don't want to show the old ones, you know?
Well, did you what's the first song you ever wrote and said, you know, as a kid or growing up, your first actual, you know, lyrics and song, full song that you wrote? What was it about? Was it about a girl like everybody else?
Actually, it was Lights, Camera, Action was my first song that I wrote. And a lot of my friends tell me to rewrite it and stuff like that and go to the professional studios because, you know, I was using older mics back then, but. I don't know, I kind of recreated it, and I'm probably actually going to be releasing Lights, Camera, Action again, but it'll be a newer version.
Oh, that's what's up.
Forward to that.
You know, it's kind of bringing it back, but a little different, more professional, not just old mics, you know, actual studio style. But
right,
I think everybody
era.
Will like that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So,
yeah, that was one of my first songs, and I was actually talking about that today. It's funny you say that, because my buddy was like, you know, you should bring back the old song, and I said, no, you know, the quality wasn't good, but now that I got the quality, it's like maybe I should redo some of the old songs, you know?
Yeah, it's a sign, see?
Yeah.
We ask you about it, it's in your mind, it's a sign. You
yeah.
bring it back.
Are you rapping? Are you rapping?
No, but I did write a rap one time, and I am not going to do it on the air.
We'll hear it sometime. So
never.
It'll get released.
No.
You can put Jay Caddy on it. You can put Jay Caddy on it. Like,
yo, that would
Jay Caddy wouldn't touch this thing with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, I'm sure you got 1,000 raps. Like, I'm sure you could let it out.
You sound like
I mean, I got swagger, but I can't do it. No, sir.
I honestly broke my arm about 20 minutes ago, and my wife was like, you need to go to the hospital, and I promised I'd call in, so I've been sitting here in pain, but I can honestly rap right now, but I'm just trying to take my mind off it. I've had worse luck in about the last 20 minutes, and it was the worst timing, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I will let you get off here. I know you got to rush off. But thanks, man. Got to shout you out for calling in the show and appreciate, give you love for that.
Yeah, man, I just got to reach out to my friends and everything like that, like Rob Meese, Ketchup, Caution, Coachella Gold, you know, let it roll.
All right, anything you want to introduce your song?
Yeah,
our new song that we just released about a month ago, it's called Let Roll Remix. We got Rob Meese on the hook, Ketchup, Caution, Coachella Gold, myself, Jay Caddy, and, you know, we just keeping it good, you know, it's real. We just want to have everybody to listen to our music and enjoy a good time, you know.
That's what's up, man. You take care of yourself. Thanks for calling the show. Get yourself to the hospital, man.
Yeah.
I actually live like 2 blocks away, so I'm going there right after this, but I'm going to hear my song on the radio. I'm already here, so
all
I got
to
do it.
Listen to it while you're on your way.
I will.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to jump in the car right now and turn it up.
All right.
All right, guys, we're about to, good night. Have a good one, man. Hope you get all fixed up pretty soon. I know they give you some good painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so everybody, we're about to go to break, and we'll be back in a few. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
For that bread, I forget chicken strip. Tryna have a meal, and meals for the side. A nigga great. All my niggas great. All my niggas eat. All my niggas eat. We gotta feed the fam. Until I got it all, ho, you know I'm going in. Watch to get it out. Eat till we ate it out. A nigga great. Man, a nigga great. Rosé in my pocket, nigga. That Prince of Bella. Sipping 20 grand, count 20 grand, had 20 grand before I had 20 fans. Greedy nigga, we greedy niggas, we greedy nigga. Spicy 3-piece, money the best, stay dope. Rolling up the best weed, far away from a fake hoe. It's take money, it take hope. I got them rain checks, pimp. My gun a nigga charge to get you, and won't get no charges this year. That's just life when you bread for bread. Polo PJ's down with a bad bitch going head to head. Home greedy to my stomach, but. Niggas bitches playing pussy, we just want that money, huh? We just want that money, huh? They talking damn, but nigga, we hella up. That shit fucked me up, them niggas was never down. When my niggas passed the chat around, told you we was greedy, nigga. Need money like I need my nigga. For that bread, I forget chicken strip. Tryna have a meal, and meals for the side. A nigga great. All my niggas great, all my niggas eat. All my niggas eat, we gotta feed the fam. Until I got it all, ho, you know I'm going in. Watch me get it out, eat till we ate it out.
Yeah,
a nigga great, man a nigga great.
Benji Grant to Jackson, blowing more than you stash, you niggas hustling backwards. Neiman sent the beat, told me bring the whole trap out. So I flash back to 06 with 50 packs from them Black Mac. Two birds made 100K. You grind hard, well I grind harder, so I'm counting paper all day. Touch my bread, I kill them dead, no question that. 9-11, you ain't street, first time to beef, you callin' peace. 9-11, all my niggas winning. What one got, we all got. That limelight we don't need, cause that attracts them half-knocks. Trying to cop this coop though, engine where that truck be. Not stock, fast as fuck. You can call that 4G, offset, bowleg, shoes made by 4G. My money right, you counterfeit, forgery. I do this for the revenue, nothing like the rest of you. The kitty spit crack, lead a booth full of residue.
For that bread, I forget chicken strip. Tryna have a meal, and meals for the side. A nigga great. All my niggas great, all my niggas eat, all my niggas eat. We gotta feed the fam. Until I got it all, ho, you know I'm going in. Watch me get it out. Eat till we ate it out. A nigga great. Man, a nigga great.
the streets are listening.
Yo, free my bro Chino, free my bro Jay. I see you, man. Money team shit. Shout out my bro Rob Meese, man. Let's get it, bro. Let's roll. Catch up.
Zero, zero, remix, 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 yeah. Let roll, let go, let grow. This is the remix of my let roll. No matter where you wanna go, we can go. Let roll, let go, let roll. Let roll, let roll.
Money piling up to that ceiling, you know them bankrolls don't fall. You know, we get that for the low. Catch up, Rob Means and the money team, boy, we next to blow. So, let's roll. Good smoking that loud pack. We chop trees like lumberjack. Me and bros got high off the pack. So, fall back, stand back, baseball, fucking cap. Chop away them bugs in case the actor try to act.
Trap star, raised in the hood, living like I should, just like my homie should. I'ma grab the wheel, but she's still gripping the wood. I'm doing it big, I knew I could. It feels so right, and I think it should. Sometimes I wanna fight, sometimes I wanna write. That's just responsibility to get out on the mic. I'm working overtime, she working nights. So I planned a vacation, now we just taking flight. Let it roll for that remix, that's why we in the whip. We stacking money while we grow, you can't fold a brick. My shit legit. Let roll, let go, let go. This is the remix of my let roll. No matter where you wanna go, we can go.
She rolling with me, I'm usually rolling low key. Can't picture me rolling without my heat. Split that swisher with that key and roll one up for me. Then hop up in the front seat. Thought she was funny the way she had me rolling. We roller coasting, we moving fast, but seem like slow motion. Going off that potion, I'll be going, can't sit at a standstill. I say, why you ain't rolling your man's wheel? She's like, man, chill, I'm too hot for that. So I roll the top back. Rolling that arm when she say my name with that accent. About to cause an accident, a rollover. I'm on fire, about to melt that cold shoulder. Gonna pass that weed or nah? I said roll, not keep it on. I'm about to drop you off for your man. And she say my nigga, he passed him. Let rock.
Let roll, let go, let go. This is the remix of my let roll. No matter where you wanna go, we can go. Let roll.
Let go, let go. No matter where you wanna go, we can go. This is the remix of my let roll. faded, smoking all medicated. My mind telling me no, but she keep calling me baby. Let's roll, let's go to a place you ain't never been before. Young nigga getting so much money, he can't even get hit by the corner store. Now shawty, get your hair fixed, you fucking with the remix. You know Rob Coachella, now baby, this a big kid. We rolling, hitting my main switch, controlling, fucking my main bitch. TNN be the greatest, nobody is ahead of us. What a real rapper's at, I'm here to put Vegas on the map. Been broke, I ain't never going back. I'm a hair, so I guess I'm running rap. Guess I'm running rap. This is the remix to that. La 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 la, let's roll. You niggas tripping, I'ma la 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 la, let that thing blow.
Back then, harder to get down. Go ahead and mess around. Yeah, it's going down. I know you get it hard. That chick from Beantown, hands down, chicken raw. But she got bars. She write her own shit. Them other chicks heard her spit, now they wanna quit. That's some real shit. I stay on the grind. Only rhyming for a year. I ain't wasting time. Wait a minute, did they mention that the girl fine? Ultimate chick, plus I got my own mind. Some even got the nerve to say that I'm cocky. I call them haters cause they mad that they not me. And now I'm copping, I got my own flow. Roll a song, body like the head, here it go. Behind the boards, Mike Mack, ARS track. Let them know who I am, bring my hook back.
If you know the game, man, I don't
mean
to sound vain. Roll a little to my role. Since I'm the one that's tuned in, no one else can do shit, so I will abuse it.
Everybody,
what are you doing?
I'm just saying, hey.
Well, hey. Anyways, guys, this is Miss B and Jay Styles. Are you guys? Is everybody ready for Jay Styles Approves? Miss B, are you ready?
Oh, you know I'm ready.
All right. Well, first of all, I got to tell you guys what the songs that you just heard were on the break. So you got the first song. It's called Greedy by The Kid featuring Holly Mayfield. Then you got Let Roll Remix, which is Rob B's featuring Ketchup, J. Caddy, Caution, and Coachella Gold. And that was the one that Jay Caddy was talking about earlier before the break. Then the third song you got is Raw by Shelby Raw. And the fourth song you got is Don't Play by Mark II. That was your May rotation for the April Talk Radio break freestyle, whatever you want to call it. So now it's time to find out what Jay Styles approved for this week. So, Ms. B, guess what happened to Chris Brown this week? He got...
Probably legal related.
And you're exactly right. You are so right. He actually received an additional 131 days in jail for the violation of his probation. Everybody should remember me talking about it a couple of weeks ago. He got kicked out of the rehab facility for breaking the rules, and that was all in reference to when he had that alleged assault in Washington D.C. He punched somebody, and it was a total mess.
Do we really need to say alleged though?
No, actually, it's not alleged anymore because he actually admitted that this happened. So he admitted in court that it happened. It wasn't like I'm pleading guilty, but it was like I acknowledge the fact that I punched somebody in the eye. So, no, it's not alleged anymore. I'm just used to saying it because I don't want anybody coming after me with a lawsuit talking about you're slandering my name. I don't want that to happen. So I'm used to saying alleged.
You know,
yes,
if it involves Chris Brown and somebody being punched, it's true.
Yeah, so pretty much. But he did admit that he acknowledged the fact that he did this in court. So but it wasn't a plague. I'm pleading guilty, but it was definitely, you know, I understand that this is what happened. I understand my consequences. So he's going to be in jail. He's actually going to be in jail for his birthday. Like, he's going to be spending his birthday in jail. So I believe his birthday is in June. And
Well, that's actually good, though, because then
yeah,
he won't
it is
have
good,
to go out on his birthday and get in trouble.
Yeah, maybe he'll clean up. I don't know. I've given up. Honestly, guys, I've given up on Chris Brown. Like, he was actually one of my first heartthrobs. He was my first concert. It wasn't like a real concert. He was just in Kings Dominion giving a performance. But I counted it as a concert because it was my first time seeing music live, and it was Chris Brown. And of course, he was my heart when he came out. So, yeah, but now, you know, I'm older. I'm over that whole celebrity teen phase, whatever, but I'm over Chris Brown, period. Like, I tried to forgive him. I tried to move on, but now he keeps screwing up. So I'm done. He needs to stay in jail. And kudos to Judge. Jay Styles approves of the judge's decision, but I feel like he should have gotten longer. Like, I'm tired of all these celebrities getting, oh, you're spending 40 days in jail. You're spending 100 days. That's not long enough. Like, you punch somebody in the eye, for no reason, dude was bleeding. Like, come on. You need to be in jail longer than freaking 4 months. Like, so I approve. Good job, Judge, for giving the jail time, but you need to go for longer next time because Chris Brown is wilding. So on a sadder note, everybody's been talking about it for a couple of weeks now, but I haven't had Jay Styles approved in a while, so... but I'm going to be talking about it because, you know, I do what I want. So I don't know, Miffy, you heard about the almost 300 Nigerian girls getting abducted last week or a couple weeks ago?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, then it's new to Miss B, so I'm going to tell you about it. In Nigeria, there's about 276 girls have gotten kidnapped. They got kidnapped out of the school that they were going to, and the leader, we don't know where they are. About 300 girls' moms are missing their babies, so
wow.
It's very sad. Everybody's been jumping on Facebook and Twitter. All the celebrities are tweeting pictures of them holding up signs saying, bring back our girls. It's gone international. It was crazy because when it first happened, everybody was like, why isn't the U.S. doing anything? Everybody's like, where are all these countries trying to help these people find the girls? Well, it turns out that
the United States has been involved with them since day one, but Nigeria had turned down the help. Nigeria was like, you know what, guys, we got this. We'll deal with it on our own. We don't need your help. But the United States has been giving the president and the government a lot of grief, but it turns out, like, you guys stopped doing that because, you know what, they've been there since day one, but Nigeria was just like, no, we don't need it. But now they're starting to accept help. Now they're getting help from the United States and Britain, and they're also getting help from China and France. So everybody's sending in help. But you know what? The United States is not sending in any combat troops. They said they have no intention of doing that. So it's to worry about that, which is good for, you know, good for us. But, you know, good for all of these countries trying to help, because those, you know, I had a situation where I actually had a very serious situation where I had to fear whether I was going to get my child back or not. So my heartstrings are pulling really hard for these girls' mothers, because it's like, I know how that feels to, like, feel, oh my God, am I going to get my child back? Is he going to come back to me alive? Like, I didn't fear for his life, but it was just like, am I going to get my child back? And so I really sympathize for these girls' moms, because and their dads and everybody that's missing them. Like, I'm really sad for them.
How old are they?
Their ages range. There's like a lot. They look from the pictures. They didn't give specific ages, but I know that there's a link. There's a website where you can go and they'll give you all of the girls' names and all of their ages. But they're from like little kids, probably as young as 6 years old to as old as 13 to 15 to 17. Like they're school age kids, but they all went to one school. And but the guy who the group leader who actually had to do with this, he has been putting out videos saying, yeah, I did it, I got you girls, ha-ha, basically. But the most recent video, he said that if he'll be willing to exchange all the girls for the release of Boko Haram. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but Boko Haram. I didn't get the chance to do much research on who Boko Haram is, but I know that it's some kind of Islamic terrorist person. So, it's a terrorist group. So everybody that's in that group, you know, they want them, the people that are in prison now, they want them to be free. And once everybody's free, they'll give all the girls back. So,
and they'll terrorize them more.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, but they, you know, who's going to do that? Who's going to free terrorist girls? I mean, I would. If they were my children, I would be like, you know what, you get whatever you want.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, my daughter safe. I don't care about what you do. Just don't, you know, leave my children alone. So, you know, hopefully. And then also, I also read that the Nigerian security that was securing the school, they actually were warned about 3 hours before the group leader showed up they were warned about 3 hours before the people showed up to kidnap the girls. So
jeez,
you know, so
not very good security they have there, huh?
No, not at all. And I would be having their heads. I would be like, you know what, you're going to die because my child is missing. I'm like, I'm going to cut your head off because my child is missing. So, you know what, J-Style
I'm the terrorist now.
Yeah, pretty much. So J-Style definitely doesn't approve of this. But, you know, I hope to high heaven that these girls are returned and returned safe once out to their parents, and they just, you know, everybody gets the situation under control. No, I do not want the terrorists to leave. So let's see. Let's hope they get back safely. I hope they do. So, but I do not approve of kidnapping anybody's kids, just so everybody knows what J-Styles approves. But on a lighter note, well, no, let me go heavier real quick. Not really heavier, but let me get all the heavy. Oh, no, I didn't mean to do that one. So on a lighter note, today a video was released of Solange. Everybody knows who Solange Knowles is. Missy, you know who Solange Knowles is?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, Beyonce's little sister.
Beyonce's sister, yeah.
Yes, she went buck wild on Jay-Z today. I don't even know. Nobody knows why
Nobody knows what's going on. There's been no explanation from anybody, but apparently Jay-Z, Beyonce, and Solange were all at the 2014 Met Gala. And there's a security tape in the, I guess they have security cameras in the elevators. So when you watch the video, you see them walk in, you see everybody go into the elevator, and then Solange just starts wiling out. She just starts going crazy, and she you know, she starts kicking and screaming at Jay-Z. Now, Beyonce steps over to the side. I don't know why she didn't try to break it up, try to get her to calm down. I don't know. But, you know, you see Beyonce step to the side, and you see Solange start kicking. They got security in the elevator. So whatever was – and it looked like – I guess if you watch the tape, it looks like whatever was going on, they wanted to keep it private. So they stepped into the elevator, and that's when everything started happening. So you see her kicking, and you see her punching and screaming at Jay-Z. Not at Beyonce, but just at Jay-Z. Like, we don't know why. And then actually, I was before the show, Solange tweeted, she said, he ain't nothing but a B. Best believe I'll slap that B again. Try me, boy. Like, she whatever's going on over there. Yeah, she went off. And then I think she had another tweet, but I didn't catch that one before the show. But I think she had another one. So she's super angry at Jay-Z. Jay-Z, whatever you did, apologize. Like, just maybe she's on a period. I don't know, girl. I do not know what's going on. Maybe she's on her. Maybe she's PMSing and just needs a man to take it out on. Who knows? But hopefully somebody will come out and explain this, because it's a really big deal. Like, everybody's talking about it. It's a trending topic on Twitter. It's trending on Facebook. Like, this is one of the top trending things since earlier today. So, and everybody's been talking about it. There's a whole bunch of,
How did Jay react in the elevator when she was doing all that?
I'm very proud of him, because he didn't retaliate. He didn't try to punch her in the eye. You see him grab her foot, like, to keep her from kicking him. But, you know, other than that, he didn't touch her. So he looked very cool, calm, collected. So I'm thinking whatever he said something smart to set her off. So tops off to Jay-Z for not punching her, because I don't know how cool, calm, and collected I would be if somebody's trying to come at me, you know. But I'm a female, I could probably fight her, and there would be nothing. But you know, but I'm hoping that somebody will come out and tell them, you know, tell us why this is happening. So there's that. And on a very funny note, this is one of the reasons why I told you, Ms. Dehan, before the show, I rearranged Jay Styles. Like, I had the whole thing set up for the whole week, and then I rearranged the whole thing, like, a couple of hours before the show. But this story is the reason why I did, because, you know, things started popping up. It was hilarious. But apparently in Brazil, there's a 66-year-old man named Francisco de Souza de Castro. Now, his last name cracks me up, and you guys are going to find out why in just a second. He was found on the side of the road, and his penis was cut off. And he's missing, like, he's missing three fingers. His penis is cut off, and that he's bleeding to death. They take him to the hospital. They find out that he actually was accused of sexually abusing a three-year-old. Now, he works on a farm where the little girl stays, and she stays with her grandparents there. But he's accused of raping and sexually abusing her. And she's only 3 years old, and he's 67. So, and all of his penis getting cut off and his fingers getting cut off. I guess everybody found out about that and, like, was like, let's go get this dude and cut his penis off for touching this little girl. And so they did it. They cut his penis off, which I approve of. If he did it, I approve of 100%. Apparently, it's an investigation. It hasn't happened. Like, nothing's been confirmed yet. But he was accused of
it.
Would
you have the stomach to do that, though? I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it.
If it was my little girl, I could cut a finger. Oh, wait, what are you talking? You couldn't do what?
I wouldn't have the stomach, like, to cut his penis off. I don't want to see what it looks like when it's cut off.
I could, if I was close to it, I don't know how close these civilians are. It was in Brazil. It was probably like a little small part. So, you know, if they feel like he did it, then I mean, if it was a little girl that I knew, let's say it was my niece, she couldn't be like a friend, like my brother's sister's cousin's first nephew's. You know, she couldn't be like a distant relative for me to really take action like that. So I'm assuming that this is a very close village and they feel very strongly for this little girl. Now, I feel like, you know, child molesters and all them, I feel like they deserve castration. So,
I agree with you, but I couldn't do it myself.
If I was mad enough, I might do it.
I might throw him to the dogs.
If I felt strong enough, I could do it. Like if it was like my own child or my sister's child or something like that. Yeah, I can get mad enough to do it, and it doesn't even have to be confirmed. Really, truly. Like if y'all with it, I'm with it. Let's go. Got guns cocked and everything, but no pun. I said guns cocked. I'm funny, but So you know that. Good luck, dude. Good luck trying to survive. But, and the reason why his last name cracks me up is because his last name is Castro. So it's like Castro,
yeah.
Castro. Yeah, that made me laugh when I was reading it. So, Jay Styles approves of the civilian's actions, but I don't even think they're going to convict them, really, truly. I don't think the civilians are getting convicted.
They all approve.
Yeah, Jay Styles approved. That's all Jay Styles approves of today. Catch it next week. See what happens next week. We don't even know. These stars are acting crazy, so I'm going to find something to approve and not approve. So just stay tuned. Ms. B, you want to take over?
Yeah, I want to. I got a quiz that I found, a parenting style quiz. And I want to ask you, because you said, you know, you weren't sure what kind of parent you are. I want to ask you this quiz so we can find out. And let's see. All right, you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, number one. Your son hits another child at soccer practice. You would, A, get mad and tell the other boy to hit him back. B, ignore them and just let them fight or play. Or C, tell him that it's not right to hit people, make him apologize and take away a privilege if this is a repeat offense.
I'm going to go with C.
Me too. That's a good one. All right. Number two. Your son and his friends have made a big mess in your playroom and now want to play outside. You would, A, yell at them and make them clean up, B, let them go out and clean up yourself, or C, help them clean up by making a game out of who can pick up the most toys.
B is definitely a joke because I'm not cleaning up something I didn't do by myself. I want to say C, but I feel like I would do A first. My first instinct would do B, A. I don't know about yelling at them, but I would definitely make them clean it up. So I'm going to go with A.
Okay. All right. If your preteen daughter wants to rent an R-rated movie that her friends have all watched, you would A, get angry and tell her she can't rent any movies, B, let her watch it, or C, say no and help her find a more age-appropriate movie.
They made me laugh. I'm sorry. Hey, you want to rent a rated R movie? You can't watch any movies ever again. No, I'm just kidding. C would be my answer. I would tell her no, and we'll go find another movie.
Okay. Your daughter is putting off going to bed because she says that she wants something to eat, and you, A, get mad and make her go to bed hungry, B, let her eat whatever she wants, or C, let her have a nutritious snack, but tell her that she will have to start eating more at dinner so she isn't hungry at bedtime.
C.
Okay. When your kids don't do their chores, you get mad, yell, and make them do it right away, do them yourself, or give them a helpful reminder that they need to be responsible and do their chores.
I'm going to go with C.
Pick what you really would do.
Well, I wanna pick A, but I'm not sure that I would be mad. I would just, I'm not sure that I would yell, but I would tell them to do it, like, do it now.
Okay.
So go with A.
Do you want to pick A or C?
A.
When your kids whine and have tantrums, you A, get mad and send them to their rooms, B, give in to stop the whining, or C, don't give in and afterwards explain better ways that they can express their frustrations.
A.
Yeah, me too. No time for that shit. Except for my two-year-old. I'm not going to do that to the two-year-old. I just let him lay out on the floor and have a tantrum, and I just sit there and chill, read my book, look at the TV, whatever. If I'm not giving him the attention of, you know, drawing attention to him having a tantrum, he'll quit eventually and just get up and start playing.
Right. No, I actually send Xavier to, I actually do, I don't yell at him, but I do, when he's becoming unreasonable, I make him sit on, I make him go to his room and lay down in the bed, because half the time that he does act out like that, it's because he's tired. So I will forever send him to his room and make him lay down just in case. And if he doesn't go to sleep, then at least he had that time to relax. But if he does go to sleep, you know, then I've solved my problem. So I don't have any problems with telling Xavier to go lay down in the bed, come back and see me if you want to, but you have to be more calm. So I don't have a problem with that. And, you know, he's like, you know.
If your kids get in trouble, you, A, get mad and yell or spank them, B, don't do much of anything, or C, discipline them and later explain better choices they could have made so they don't get in trouble again.
A.
Okay. Your son wants a new toy at the grocery store, so you get mad and tell him he can't have any new toys, buy it so that he doesn't have a tantrum. Tell him no, but explain that you will bring him back to buy it when he saves enough of his allowance.
I definitely would not give in. However, no, I wouldn't give him. I would tell him no, number C, not number C, but letter C.
Okay.
Tell him no, but explain why. Explain I'll bring him back and we can buy one.
All right, if your preschool-age daughter has a nightmare and wakes you up, you would, A, get mad at her for waking you up and tell her to go back to bed, B, let her go back to sleep wherever she wants, or C, comfort her and help her go back to sleep once she calms down.
I would comfort her and help her go back to sleep.
Okay. And the last one, the main goal of parenting and discipline is to, A, get your kids to listen to you no matter what, B, make sure everyone is happy and doing whatever they want, or C, teach your children why your rules are important and help them learn to make good choices on their own.
That's a good one. That is a good question. What would I do? Hold on. What was the first one again?
The first one is get your kids to listen to you no matter what. B is make sure everyone is happy and doing whatever they want. Or C, teach your children why your rules are important and help them to learn to make good choices on their own.
C.
Okay. All right, let's see what type of parent you are.
We need a drum roll.
You can be authoritarian. Huh?
I said we need a drum roll.
You are most likely an authoritative parent.
Oh.
So it says, an authoritative parent operates on the belief that both the child and the parent have certain rights and that the needs of both are important. The parent is sure that she is in control and doesn't need to assert physical force to keep the child on the right track. Rather, an authoritative parent is more likely to control her children by setting rules and explaining why these rules are important and why they must never be, I mean, must never be followed. They must be followed. So that's what you are. I think, you know, you're that, but you lean towards authoritarian. Don't
really?
You think so? Yeah, you had, out of the 10 questions you asked, you answered 6 of them authoritatively, and 4 of them for the authoritarian were you answered, and 0 for the permissive.
Yeah, that doesn't really surprise me because it's like,
it's like that's my first instinct is do what I say and not as it, as my uncle would put it, do as I say and not as I do. So
You said you were raised that way though, you know?
Yeah, that's another reason why I'm not surprised. It's like, you know, it's like this is what I grew up with. Do as I tell you to when I tell you to do it. So, but you know what? Growing up, I always hated that because, you know, I guess because growing up as a kid, you're like, you know, I'm doing, you know, you have all these reasons as to why you can't do what you're doing or what you know, I can't do what you want me to do right now as for a reason. And that's what it's always been. That's always been a common argument between me and my mother because she's always the one, do what I tell you to do now. Not 5 minutes from now, not 30 minutes later, like do it now. And so we even to this day, as a 21-year-old single mom, I still have that problem with my mom because she's still, you know, because I actually live with my mother. So she's still like, you know, do what I tell you to do. Even though I'm 21, I'm still her baby in her eyes. So I kind of understand it, but I don't. But I'm still like, even to this day, I'm still like, I can't do it right now. So I kind of see, you know, sometimes I have my mother come out of my mouth. So, you know, I'm not surprised that I have those kind of traits. This is what I grew up.
Yeah. See, I'm totally not authoritarian. I think, except for yelling, I'm a yeller. You know, and I know that's not a good thing to be, but I yell because I feel like they don't listen to me when I just say something, and I don't want to have to pop them if I don't have to. And my older son is too old to pop. I'm like, who's going to pop a 9-year-old, you know? You don't pop a 9-year-old. That's just, like, degrading or something, I think, for him. I would never do that. And I'm not a spanker, so don't get me wrong. He's had a couple spankings in his life before, years ago. But I didn't like the way it made me feel afterwards, and I decided never to do it again. But I was raised by authoritative parents, and I think my style is authoritative, and I might even lean towards permissive. You know, I'm more authoritative, but I can see myself answering a couple in a permissive way. I don't want to be my kid's friend or anything like that, but sometimes it's easier just to let them do something rather than have to fight and argue with them.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'm just like, whatever. Like, I pick my battles, you know? Like, if it's something important, then I'll stick my foot down. But, like, as far as for, like, the thing in the store, like, if they wanted it, like, they wouldn't throw a tantrum for it anyway. But if they did, I could, you know, see myself just buying it just to shut them up.
Actually, we have a, one of our hosts from this show, actually, Tay Real, says to tell you, Miss B, that he said that white people don't spank their kids. That's what he told me to tell you, that white people don't spank their kids.
White people don't spank their kids. Well, maybe that's true. But to say that would be like for me to say that all black people spank their kids. But it is a cultural thing. I agree it is a cultural thing.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen too many black people that actually say, you know, I don't spank them. I have seen, I'm not going to say they're not existent, but they're definitely, there's some that are out there that do, that don't. They use other methods, timeouts and stuff like that. So I have seen it. It's real. Black people and no spanking is real, guys. But
I will say, now, some white people do spank. You're talking about people out there in the country, you know, the rednecks and just the country people, white country people spank their kids. They believe in the Bible and spare the rod, spoil the child. I went as a child, I lived in Alabama for a while with my real father and my grandparents, and they're all from that part of town, from that state in Alabama. And I went to a private Christian school, and there, when I got in trouble there, I was paddled. It was corporal punishment, and they believed in it. That would never happen around here, never. But in the South, it's accepted.
Yeah, in the North too, because that's what I got. I got whooped with everything under. I had a wooden spoon, a ruler, a spatula, hands, belts.
No, I mean that the school, at the school, the principal paddled me.
Oh, at the school you got whooped. Oh, no.
I got whooped
that.
At the school.
Ooh,
yes.
Okay.
The principal paddled. The teachers could paddle. And y'all know me. I was always being paddled. They learned that paddling didn't work for me. Then they started telling me when I got in trouble, if you get in trouble today, you're not going to play basketball the night of the game. That was what worked for me. Paddling didn't work. I mean, if paddling hurts for a minute, then I'm over it. But starting to take away my being able to play, and you know, because I played basketball and softball. They say I can't play the game. Psh, I'm golden. I'm perfect. Won't put a toe out of line.
Oh wow! So you're from that era where they were allowed to spank you in school. Okay.
They still paddle there, babe.
I know when my mom was growing up, she got paddled once in her whole entire life in school, like once, because she didn't do her homework. So, but I always heard stories about that, but that must have been horrible.
It was. I mean, it sucked. It sucked. It really did. But I, you know, it's sad to say, but I got used to it. I would rather any day to be paddled than to have, like, because they used to also make you, like, write a bunch of stuff, you know, like have to write like 2 pages of I will not talk in class or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they even made you stand, and then this is so cliche, but this is true. They would make you stand in front of the class with a heavy book in each hand and have make you hold them out to your side. That was the worst punishment ever.
Yeah.
That hurts so bad. I can't even explain to you. And they would, like, make you do it for something like 5 minutes. And if you put it down, your arms down, before the 5 minutes, then you had to start your 5 minutes over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was no joke.
This is you, then. That you got them guns, them arms.
Yeah,
that felt like
right.
That sounded like a workout.
It was. I mean, it burned. It hurt bad. But, you know, so some white people do spank. You know, but it's, like I said, it's more so in the Bible Belt, not just the South, but in the Bible Belt, where they believe, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that never comes back. Like, I'm honest, I'm so, even though I'm out of school, like, I hope that never comes back in that style. Like,
well, are you going to spank your son?
No, you know what? If he goes that route, if he decides to be that bad, then sure, yeah, you can get a spanking. But I think I'm gonna take it. Like, I think me knowing me, if he's as bad as he is now, then I'm probably gonna get tired of it, and I'll probably take your route. If you don't find something he really loves, and just take it away from him, because unless I have hopefully I will have a father figure to take over those spankings for me, because I do not want to do it all the time. But if he's like he is now, then I know my arm is going to get tired. I know I'm going to get tired.
Like he's good, though. I mean, the fact that you can send him in his room and he'll go in there and lay on a bed, oh, my God.
That's because I stepped punishment up. That's because I realized that just one little tap on the hand and just a firm, hey, don't you do that. That doesn't work anymore. He's not 1 year old anymore. He's growing up, so I had to, like, kind of step up what I'm doing now. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to step it up. So now
I come off, like, tough, but underneath, when it comes to my kids, I'm a softie. Mm-hmm. And I can't sit there and sit him in there and just have him bawling, crying. And I can't deal with it because he's so damn cute, and I feel so sad for him. And I feel bad because I feel like he thinks I don't love him, you know?
Yeah. Well, if that works for you, that's great. But me, Xavier likes it. He's more, and I hate to say this because I know a lot of people don't believe in it. So, I mean, if you don't believe in it, you don't believe in it. I'm not going to change your beliefs. But I really feel like Xavier knows how to manipulate. And you know what? He showed me. He showed it to me earlier this weekend. He showed me he knows how to manipulate me or manipulate anybody in my family. Because what he did, I think we were talking about this misbehave earlier this week, where I was in the kitchen making dinner, and I turned my back for half a second. I told Xavier to sit in his chair, don't move. And next thing you know, I turned back a half a second. He just ran down to his grandma, who's in the basement cleaning, and he said, happy birthday, like trying to be all cute and stuff. And and he, you know, he's trying to be all cute and everything, and knowing that, you know, grandma's going to be like, oh, stay, let him stay. He can stay after I've been told him, get your butt in that chair and don't move until I finish dinner. So I can tell he knows how to manipulate the situation to try to get his way. So I feel like if I felt like, you know, oh, he doesn't deserve it, he's so cute, you know, I love it. If I felt the way that you felt about him, which I don't take that as I don't think my kid's cute. He's adorable and I just love him. And I don't think I could ever love anybody like I love him. But, you know, if I felt that way, he would just run all over me. And I can't, you know, I can't really have that anymore. And I do, you know, that was the cue for me to step it up. Like, you know.
Right.
You know, tell him, like, you know, tell him you have to sit here. You can't move. I did step up the timeout. I stepped up everything. So now he's like. It's actually working because, just like I said, he's actually, you know, awake right now, just laying, you know, he kind of popped up to see what I was doing, if I was coming to bed, but, you know, overall, he's just laying in the bed watching whatever is on, whatever Disney Channel is on, right, you know, so I think that really helped me, and I like that, so I think I'm going to stick with that one.
But yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, but I think that's not authoritarian.
I mean, they say that, yeah, I think you're authoritarian,
yeah.
You know, because I can't do it. I'm not going to say I'm permissive, but I'm more permissive when they're young like that. Now, mm-hmm. as far as my older kid's done is, you know, I expect him to do what he's told. He knows better. He's not, you know, a little baby anymore. He knows why he should do something I'm telling him to do. He gets the understanding of why he should do it and not just because I said. Though I do say that sometimes. So it's a little different. But, you know, I have an article here for Just the Facts I wanted to read about how parenting styles influence our children's development, which is something I always think about, too. I don't know if you do, but I worry about, like, how are these, you know, actions that I'm taking now and ways that I'm dealing with him and parenting him, how they're going to affect him when he gets older. And each one carries different connotations and things that they say is going to, ways they're going to affect them and stuff. So I want to just read this article real quick. Research suggests that the parenting style that you adapt is likely to have some impact on your child's development. Much of the research talks about a number of different parenting styles: authoritarian, authoritative, indulgent, and neglectful, which is what we know as indulgent is the permissive, neglectful is the uninvolved. Variances include permissive and democratic. To focus on these parenting style templates suggests that everyone should fit into a box. However, it is important to remember that every individual parent and family is different. Being able to adapt to a variety of different situations and experiences is essential in giving your children clear boundaries, acknowledgement, reinforcement, and education, irrespective of both of which box you're supposed to fit into. To expect each parent to have the same parenting style is like saying every parent should have the same values. This is simply not going to be the case. Every parent and family carries their own past experiences, value system, set of rules, lessons, and education. These experiences and templates are ultimately what created individuals and couples' parenting style. Every child is different, and thus to expect your friends and family to respond to situations and experiences the same way as you is a little unrealistic. Although it is always helpful to get handy tips and tools from others, living by them as gospel may place you in a situation where you feel more pressure and possible inadequacy. Being the perfect parent is not necessarily always the best way. If children did not have the ability to fall over and pick themselves up, they would not have the ability to form a sense of resiliency and emotional strength when faced with challenges. Children need clear and consistent communication. Parents need to be consistent in their parenting to their children. Inconsistency may cause children to feel confused, uncertain, and fearful in not knowing what they have done, when they have done something wrong or not. Similarly, children need to be told reasons for certain actions and consequences. This helps them develop their understanding of boundaries, rules, and acceptable behavior, and similarly helps them cope with challenging times in the future. Children similarly need boundaries in order to know where their place is within the world and to learn a sense of what is acceptable and what is not. If children get away with anything, they are more likely to reject rules when they are teenagers and thus not have an understanding of how to cope when they do not get their own way. The important thing to remember is that there is no one-size-fits-all when it comes to parenting. Every family will bring their own strengths, qualities, and values to their parenting to help their child's development. When times may get tough and challenging, remember to focus on these qualities and values while similarly remembering the big picture. Your child's development is a continuous journey, and your style will change and develop as your child develops. Being flexible with the evolving time is also just as important. So this, what do you think about that article? Do you agree with what they're saying, Jay?
Actually, I do, 100%. Like, I do feel like, you know, everybody has their own thing. Like, there's never, I honestly, like, I don't understand the people that feel like everybody should be doing what I'm doing. Like, I don't understand the parents that think they're doing it right and they want to convert the whole world. Like, and there are parents
right
out there that are like that. Like, you should be doing this. I know of people that feel like I should be raising my son a certain way just because they did it. Like, you know, do whatever you do. If it works for you, if you like it, I love it. As long as your kid isn't tearing up the whole, like trying to burn the whole world down, as long as he's not trying to burn the restaurant that I'm sitting in down, do what you got to do. You got to put your son in timeout in the middle of the grocery store. Hey, timeout works for you. Go ahead. You don't need to do what I'm doing. You don't need to do what Ms. B's doing. You put your son in timeout. If that's going to make him calm down and stop screaming in the daggone grocery store, do what you got to do. If you got to go to the bathroom and whoop your child, I'm not going to stare at you. I'm not going to judge you. So, that article definitely speaks the truth.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, nobody fits into that box. I think people, you know, parents have a little bit of all of them in them. You know, as we said, like when you took the test, you know, you were authoritarian and authoritative. And I said about myself, I think, you know, that I'm authoritative and a little permissive. But I have authoritarian in me too. You know, like I say, I'll yell and I'll get pissed. When I get to that level, I get pissed. You know, it just takes me a minute to get there. And once I get there, I'm all business. I'm all about it. So I think, you know, like this article saying, I mean, every family is different. Every child is different. Every parent is different. Nobody knows what you have gone through or what you are going through with your children. So to judge somebody for the way that they take care of their child is, I ask yourself, would you like to be judged? Would you be judged? I mean, same thing. And I don't want anybody to take a microscope and look at how I parent my child because I make mistakes. I do things that, you know, the parenting books say, you know, you shouldn't do, like yelling and, you know, not being consistent and, you know, whatever it may be. But I think that all the parenting styles have a place in parenting, with the exception of uninvolved, because that's not parenting. That's just, you're a sperm donor, you're an egg donor. That's it. If you're not involved at all with your children, you're not a parent. But with the other three, you know, I think a combination of all of them is likely in most parents. You know, you may tend towards one way and to another, but I think too much of anything is not a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yep. When you talk about the neglect parenting style, like I'm thinking about, I don't know if this is right, but I'm thinking about, like, you know, the mothers and fathers that are alcoholics, the people, you know, the rich people that leave their kids to the wolves, like figure it out on yourself. Here's a toy. Go play. Go get out of my face so I can work. Right? Those are the kind of parents that I'm thinking about.
Uninvolved is someone that's not there. I mean, they're not there. They may give their child the essentials to live on. It's such as food, clothing. you know, money, necessities, things like that. But they're not there for them to teach them anything, to keep them safe, to protect them, to, you know, be a, well, everything that a parent is about. You know, they're more of just like a donor. They give the money, they, you know, fund the whole project, but they don't take part in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's neglect. I mean, they're the parents that leave their kid with, you know, food in the fridge when they're like 7 years old and go out for the night.
Oh, yeah.
The kids are left to take care of themselves, and that's essentially what they do. They grow up taking care of themselves. They don't have that luxury of being a child and knowing that no matter what, your parents are going to take care of you. You can have fun. You can relax. You can chill. You know, because your parents are there. They're going to teach you. They're not going to let anything happen to you. They're going to teach you the right way to do things. You know, they're there for you.
Yep. True story. Well, Misty,
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, do you have a closing statement?
I was just getting ready to say, with that being said, I enjoyed tonight's show. And, you know, I think I just said my closing statement. I stand firm behind what I said. And I think that anybody out there trying to force themselves into a box and be a certain type of parent, stop trying. You're just going to stress yourself out. You know, just relax and do what you feel is right. You know, don't go by what anybody else says you need to do. You can't teach somebody how to be a parent. It's just something you can do. You do or you don't. And how about you, Ms. J? You have a closing statement?
Pretty similar to what you said. Like, if you really, truly, I just want to let everybody know that all the parents know that if you are feeling like you're doing something wrong, as long as your child is breathing and happy and fed and clean, you're good. You know, you'll figure out what you're going to do. You'll figure out the discipline that you want to take. You'll figure that out. And if you're with somebody else, if you're with a father, with a mother, if everybody's together, or even if you have somebody else that's in your life or that's in the child's life, you guys are going to work together to figure it out. So feel like, because I know like a lot of people feel like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling this kid. I know for the first year of Xavier's life, I felt like I was feeling him to the max. Like every time something happened, like I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing this right. No, you're doing it right. As long as they're happy, as long as they're smiling, sad and happy, everything's good. You're going to figure out the rest of it, but you're doing a wonderful job as far as I can tell, you know. So I do think that, you know, everybody has their own. Also, do not sit there and try to tell somebody else how to parent their child. I want everybody to know.
Lord knows.
Yeah, I want everybody to know that is not courteous. You're not doing them a favor. You're making it worse. Like, you're making the situation so much worse when you sit there, you turn around to somebody else and say, you need to, when those words come out of your mouth about somebody else's child, like, you need to just stop. You need to stop, have a thousand seats, and just don't move. Just sit down. Because seriously, don't tell anybody how to parent their child. If they don't want to do something, or if they do want to do something with their child, that's theirs. You didn't help make that child, so you need to just not let them do what they're supposed to do, because honestly, that makes the situation a lot worse. That makes that person feel bad about themselves. That makes them feel like, oh, well, you know, so-and-so had to say something about, or so-and-so felt like they could say something about my parenting, so I must be doing it wrong. Like, no matter how tough of a front they put up, like, it's the worst. So just don't do that. Do what you got to do. Keep the children happy and alive and respectful. That's all.
Well said. Well said, Jay. Well, on that note, we're going to say good night. Thank you for listening to the show. I'm your host, Miss Behave.
I am Miss J. Hey, I'm your co-host, Jay Styles.
All right, with that, everybody, listen to us next Monday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, and we'll see you then. Peace.
You've been listening to It's Real Talk Radio with Tay Real and Nizzy Nay. Facebook us at It's Real Talk Radio. Tweet us at It's Real Radio MP.